this month, 4 astronauts made history, circling the moon for the first time in decades and going deeper into space than any human in history.
The Artemis II was a part of the country's moon mission program aimed at eventually setting up a lunar base.
Behind those astronauts is a team of thousands of NASA engineers and scientists who work to bring them home safely. And we've been checking in with the members of the Artemis team who have Wisconsin connections.
Doug Parkinson is Launch Integration and Mission Operations Lead for NASA's Space Launch System, or SLS, program. He's originally from Wisconsin, growing up in West Allis. Doug, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, I understand you were monitoring the launch at the Marshall Space Flight Center in Alabama. Take us to that moment. What is the mood there? What's going through your mind as you're watching that moment of liftoff?
Oh, my goodness. How exciting it was, all of the things that it took to get there to that moment. And, you know, just the people around me looking in their eyes and all the hard work and the times we shared to get there and watching that vehicle come alive, lifting off the pad, and what it means to each one of us individually, but what it means for us as a country.
Now, we'll talk more about the launch and the future, but I want to get your road from Wisconsin. You grew up, I understand you were born in West Allis. Talk a little bit about your Wisconsin roots.
Oh, Wisconsin roots. Oh, my goodness. It takes me way back. I lived in Wisconsin until I was about 13 years old, 12 and a half, 13 years old, from West Allis. Lived on 76th Street. I used to run around the neighborhood, ride our bikes just about everywhere. Went to Jefferson Elementary School there, and it was such a blast.
When did you figure out that you're going to go into a field, you know, maybe you didn't know it was going to take you to space flight, but relevant fields? Where did you start that career path?
I've always been interested. So when I was real young, back when taking me all the way back to Wisconsin there, when I was growing up, my parents gave us Legos and we would always mess around with the Legos. But between my brothers and myself, I guess I seemed to be the one that tended to spend hours and hours and hours with that. And we'd used to build spaceships and helicopters and things like that. So I think there was some interest in science and space all the way back there. Fast forwarding, I ended up coming to the University of Alabama in Huntsville, where I went to college. And at that school, I was able to get a job in the Propulsion Research Center there. And once we started working on advanced propulsion and things like that, I think my career was starting to take a turn towards propulsion and flying rockets and doing great things with NASA.
Now, we'll get back into the mission again, but did you take any Wisconsin with you to the South and to your colleagues? Are you turning them on to custard or cheese curds or anything?
Bratwurst, of course. And of course, we always have Old Milwaukee and Pabst Blue Ribbon around. But I guess a little bit of that came with me, of course, and always would tell folks that I'm a cheesehead.
All right. Now, with the Artemis mission, can you talk us through what you and the team you're leading were doing when it came to the liftoff and this mission?
Okay, our team sits, if you think kind of like the Maytag repairman, I may be a little bit over a simplification, though. There's the people at Kennedy Space Center who are pushing the buttons and making sure the vehicle is commanded correctly. But our engineering team here back in Huntsville and actually all across the country are supporting them. So we're the ones that design the rocket, and then we turn over the rocket, or design and build the rocket, and we turn it over all the big chunks to Kennedy Space Center, where they construct the rocket and put it all together and launch it. Well, if there is an issue, or if something doesn't look quite right, and we're monitoring all the way through, is everything operating correctly? Is everything, electrically, with fluid systems and all of that. We're monitoring all of that back in Huntsville and making sure as that rocket's getting ready to launch, everything is within the proper bounds. So that's our role, is to support them during that launch process. And like I said, if there's an issue, they reach back to us and we're right there to support them and troubleshoot and hopefully give them a resolution that allows that rocket to go that day.
I imagine a lot of the work, of course, happens before the launch. What kind of testing are you doing, both on the physical rockets? And I imagine there are a lot of simulations going on. What is the testing looking like leading up to launch day?
It takes years of work leading up to it, with testing from the smallest component level all the way up to the system level. So when we turn those big pieces over to Kennedy Space Center, those big elements over to Kennedy Space Center for vehicle integration, that starts happening, or it had started happening on this particular rocket about a year before it even launched. And then once we get into that process, we put the element by element, the vehicle stacks together. And all along the way, we're making sure, as we're adding pieces, we're checking out systems. We even do like an all systems test, and we called that wet dress rehearsal on this time around. And that's when we loaded up the rocket with the cryogenic propellant, and we checked it out. We made sure all the systems were functioning, and we even got close to, we go down to about 30 seconds from T0, and we follow that procedure. So that makes sure that all of our procedures are in place and working correct, or are properly sequenced, and the rocket is also functioning properly. So it's a good way to make sure that the rocket is ready to launch.
Now, I might think, okay, we had the Artemis launch, your work is done for a while, you get to go on vacation, but then I think, hang on, you just got a whole bunch of real-world data that you're going to need to look through. What does it look like after the mission is done for you and your team?
Oh, yeah. I tell you, we call that post-flight analysis, and that takes multiple months to do. We did fly humans on this one, so that added to it. But you know, we're a science organization. We look for that data. We're looking for that data to make sure everything went well and is operated correctly. So we pour over that, and that helps inform us for the next launch.
So months of data to go through. So what does that look like? You're taking the equivalent of like a black box from the rocket, or what are you looking at now?
Oh, well, we get the telemetry of the data off the vehicle leading up to T0, and then in flight we get data all along the way until it's disposed of. So we get that in real time, and it comes down, we either bank it off satellites or it comes down to our ground stations, and we process that. And that takes that can take up to a couple days even to process that after flight. And then all of our engineers look over all of the data and the video, do comparisons, analyze in great detail whether the vehicle acted nominally, was there any debris that came off or particulate. You know, we just pour over every frame, and we look at every data point to make sure that things were as expected.
We're talking about the Artemis Lunar Program with one of its leading aerospace engineers, originally a Wisconsinite from West Allis, Doug Parkinson, who leads NASA's Space Launch System Program. Doug, if people look over at the history of the space program, they could look back to the 60s and the Apollo program and Gemini and everything going on back then. What has changed in this kind of launch technology? It's been going a long time. I'm guessing we've solved some problems and made some developments over the decades.
Oh yeah, we stand on the shoulders of giants. So you know, we've learned a lot through the Apollo program, then the shuttle program, and we've learned decades of experience from operating that vehicle, and that all informs all the engineering and design of this rocket. And we even have heritage back through the shuttle program. If you look at the RS-25 engines that we fly on this vehicle, some of those components and engines, those engines were literally flown on space shuttles that we've reused in the past. and the booster designs, the big white solid rocket boosters on the side, those designs have heritage with the space shuttle, space transportation system, the shuttle. And we just continue to build on our huge mounds of information that we've learned over the decades since the 60s. And not only that, but computer technology, the amazing computer technology we have now today, we're able to get so much higher resolution video. We have the ability to get a lot more data. Our models are much better now, and we see evidence of that. We've flown Artemis 1 and Artemis 2, and they have performed superbly.
You just mentioned the computer technology involved here, and that's a big part of the job. But I've seen elsewhere you say part of what you like about this is that you get to get your hands dirty actually work with the equipment. What kind of things are you doing as you move back and forth between the computer lab and the actual gear that we're sending into space?
Okay, well, particularly in the HOSC, we have computer consoles that we're sitting at, but so we're utilizing those for data and video and the like while the vehicle is operating. But what I also like to do another part of my job before we ever get to the part we get on console for to support launch is when we go down to Kennedy Space Center and get that vehicle assembled. So every day the team works, a large engineering team with the technicians, they work on putting that rocket together. And what was a good, a really great experience actually for me is being able to go down there and see the actual pieces of the rocket going together and you know, being oversimplified like a big Lego set or Erector set going together. But in a much more complicated way, in a much more fine-tuned way.
What kind of pressure do you and your team feel under here to get it right? Because you have to get it right. The stakes are very high come launch day.
I take a lot of accountability of what I do personally, and take a lot of pride in what we do. And actually, that is a simple characteristic of everybody on the team. And so we do have a lot of self pressure, but we do feel pressure from wanting to perform for the country. But we know that if we stay steady and stay true to our engineering roots here, and making sure that we go step by step, walk through things systematically. We have confidence in our abilities and what we can do and perform. But I would say that accountability that we put on ourselves definitely gives us a level of pressure to perform.
All right. Now that's Artemis 2. Here comes Artemis 3. Maybe dates next year. There's always, you know, things that can be bumped back and weather windows and things like that. What are the steps now that you're taking to prepare for that mission, ultimately involving a moon landing?
Oh, wow. We're into mission planning. We take our we reevaluate based on the data evaluations we do. We look over and we see if we need to fine tune anything for the next mission. We're already have a major components, you know, the major pieces of the Artemis 3 rocket already heading in the direction of Kennedy Space Center. So we're making sure all of those things are being processed properly, and we're getting ready in the near future to support Artemis 3, get into that vehicle stacking process once again. So we're definitely looking over what we've done to date and building off of it and making any fine tune adjustments for Artemis 3.
Doug, for that kid out there listening in Wisconsin playing with their Lego set and thinking, hey, maybe I could do what you're doing someday, what is the path? What are the steps they would need to work up to what you're doing?
I would say if you have a dream and you look at the Artemis program, I would go to NASA.gov to take a look at that. And it's inspiring to know that if you can dream it, it can be part of Artemis. You know, you might think, oh, I have to be an engineer. You can be a scientist. You can be somebody that's into photography. You know, all of these different types of career paths. These, as long as you have a dream to participate, it can be part of Artemis and what we're doing. We're going to the moon and we're going to stay, and it takes a lot of infrastructure, and it'll take a lot of people to get there.
Doug, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
That's Doug Parkinson, Launch Integration and Mission Operations Lead for NASA's Space Launch System Program, originally from West Allis. We've been talking with Doug about the Artemis II lunar mission and future plans.